You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
KSL, KSL at night.
And welcome back to KSL at Night. You're here with me, Leah Murray, and we are talking about all the most interesting things that are happening. We are going to get into now the Chad Daybell trial that, my goodness, I think we've been covering for quite a while. If you've missed any of our recent shows or more further back shows as this story kind of developed, you could totally check them out on our podcast. So you go to kslpodcast.com or, quite frankly, any app where you download podcasts, just look up KSL at Night. And a little bit, if you search like Daybell trial or Lori Vallow trial, you would be able to find all the conversations that we've had about it if you want to, you know, kind of dig more deeply into what we're about to talk about. So today, jurors for the Chad Daybell murder trial heard more testimony and a little bit, listeners, I think it got, I don't know, I want to say creepy, definitely was interesting. And to help me figure out what's going on, I've got Greg Skordas, who is KSL's own legal analyst and is tracking this trial closely for us to kind of bring us up to speed. Greg, welcome to the show.
Nice to be with you.
Greg, so first of all, before we get too much into the weeds, give us kind of context. Where are we at in this trial? Is it, you know, today is Tuesday. When, like, where are we? Are we in the middle of testimony? Are we closing on the end? Is prosecution up? Like, just give everyone the context of where we are currently.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think we're at day two of week three of the trial. It's moved at a little bit of a slow pace. The state is still putting on their evidence. They're still putting on their trial. They've told the court that they need at least 5 or 6 weeks. So my guess is we're probably over the hump. We're over the halfway point for the state's case. Of course, the defense hasn't put on its case yet. But under the rules, the state goes first, and then the defense gets to put on its case. So, yeah, we're well into the state's case and well into the forensics, FBI experts, and other witnesses.
All right. So I was reading, I feel like something creepy is happening today, but let me have our listeners hear it directly from you. What is the development that's going on in today's, what did the jurors hear today?
Well, two real significant things, Leah. One, we heard from Tylee's older brother who was talking to his mother, Lori Vallow, about Tylee, who sort of said goodbye to her one day when he was working at Planet Fitness where he was employed. And it was clear that something was amiss, something was wrong. He was communicating with Tylee pretty regularly on her Facebook. But after a couple of days, those communications changed. And I think if you read between the lines, and it's not hard, he's assuming that he's not talking to Tylee anymore at all. He's talking to Lori, who's using Tylee's device and acting as though she is her daughter in a way to make him think that she's still alive and she's doing fine. He then talks about the fact that his father is killed. Lori at first says it was a heart attack and then admits that Alex Cox killed him in self-defense and is really nonchalant about it. I mean, she lost her husband. It's awful. And she's just kind of moving on and saying, you know, your mother will be married again soon. And the Lord has everything under control. So very creepy. But more importantly, Leah, and I know I'm rambling a bit, we heard from an FBI agent who went through the text messages between Chad and Lori. And I'll tell you why this is important. Chad has, from the beginning of this trial, maintained that he was manipulated by Lori, that he's the one who was the follower and that she was the one who was calling all the shots. His attorney said that right out of the chute in the opening statement, and that has been his defense so far. Lori, and Alex Cox, they did everything. But if you look at these text messages between Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow, he is really manipulating her to the point where he's saying, you know, you're not responding to me, you're not talking to me, the angels are upset at you, they're not protecting you anymore, you need to respond to me. And so she finally sends him something back saying, hey, I love you. And then he replies, okay, the angels are protecting you again. So in that context, Leah, it seems that Chad is much more engaged with the manipulation part, and he's not the one that's being led around. He's doing just as much of it to her as she is to him.
So, Greg, can you talk to me real quick right there about, like, I feel like, doesn't the defense know these texts exist, right? So you had said earlier and just now that the defense right out of the gate says, right, this is Lori Vallow is the manipulator in this. Chad Daybell is just kind of going along with it. But then these texts, right, like, seems to me like if you were a criminal defense attorney and you know these texts exist, how could you ever have made the argument that they are trying to make in this case?
Well, I think, Leah, it's the only argument the defense can make, that because Lori's been convicted, and the jury's got to live with that, that children were killed, that Lori and Chad had something to do with that, that they were found dead on Chad's property. And so Chad has tried to distance himself. And again, if you look, he's manipulating her, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he's a killer. And I think his attorney's going to say, okay, he wasn't the complete dupe. He was involved in this as much as she is. But what does that have to do with the murder? I know that's a little bit of a stretch, and I think the jury's going to see through that a little bit. But he's always tried to distance himself from Lori's manipulation. This just brought him into that. And yes, his attorney had to have known about these texts for years now and had to have been anticipating them, didn't address them in his opening remarks, probably could have taken a little bit of the wind out of the sails had he done that. But for whatever reason, he chose not to.
So I was reading in a KSL story that basically the FBI agent gets asked, right, if there's any very clear, you know, let's kill the kids kind of text messages. Greg, what was there? Like, the answer is no, but I guess there is some, like, it seems like it's obvious that that was being discussed.
Yeah, I mean, I practiced for 42 years and I've never seen a drug conspiracy where they say, hey, let's sell the drugs tonight. I mean, there's always, everything's always a little bit in code. You know, he's talking about, you know, we've got to kill the raccoon. We've got to get rid of the spirits. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. I mean, no one ever comes out and admits to a crime in their text messages. That's so rare. But if you read between the lines and you put them all in context, I think that the FBI has done a great job of that, and the state has as well. You can see what's going on. And if you it's a picture that the state's trying to paint, which is that these two were conspiring to get rid of people that were in their way, the dark souls, the dark figures. And Tylee and JJ unfortunately got caught up in that web. And, yeah, I think that it doesn't take much of a stretch to look at these texts and some of the communications between Lori and Chad and see exactly what the state's theory is, and that they were both equally culpable in those kids' homicide.
All right, and now that you know this information, does it change your perspective of, you know what I mean, like where we go from here, or what happens with what the defense, how they might put on a case?
Not really. I mean, I think that we knew that some of this was coming. The defense has always maintained, hey, wait, we've got four experts ourselves. We're also going to put on Chad's children. I think they're still going to make Lori out to be the monster in this and go even further and say the state's case isn't quite as good as you think. Some of their forensics, some of their DNA, some of the other analysis that was done maybe isn't quite as compelling as you might think. The autopsy of Tammy, for example, some of the findings with respect to Tylee and JJ, and the DNA that's found. So I think the defense is going to say, you still got to tie Chad to it. You still got to put him there. You still have to do something to get him on the scene of these homicides. And they're going to say the state can't do that. Of course, it's a circumstantial case in large respect. And we'll see what the jury ultimately decides.
All right. So talk to us. I like how you said earlier, it's day two of week three. In the last minute I've got left with you, where do we go from here? When do you think the state rests? Like, how much longer do we have? What should we be paying attention to?
I think the state's going to hone in on some of the more details of terms of autopsy, finish up with their forensics, and the big picture between Lori and Chad. Keep going with these text messages, these phone calls, even communications between the two of them after they were arrested, and kind of seal the deal. My guess is that the state's case will continue throughout this entire week and probably all of next week. Whether it goes much further than that remains to be seen. And then the defense will put on its case. It should be fairly short, less than a week.
Greg Skordas, KSL legal analyst, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
You bet. Nice to hear your voice, Leah.
Next up on KSL at Night, listeners, let's have a conversation with Congresswoman Celeste Molloy about a meeting that happened around land down in Washington County. Stay with us.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.